Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April 1st, 2026. Today is Wednesday in Holy Week. This is a reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. And we do this so that we may not be outwitted by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his designs. Here ends the reading. It was a few years ago when I first heard Wednesday in Holy Week referred to as Spy Wednesday, a reference, of course, to Judas Iscariot making his sordid deal with the religious leadership to sell out Jesus. Of course, we know how the story ends for Judas, but in his marvelous little book, Peculiar Treasures, Frederick Buechner offers a different sort of ending. Here's Buechner. Nobody can be sure, of course, why Judas sold Jesus out, although according to John's Gospel, he already had a reputation for dipping into the poor box from time to time, so the cash may have been part of it. If, like the other disciples, he perennially worried about where he stood in the pecking order, he may also have been reacting to some imagined slight. Maybe Judas thought his job as treasurer to the outfit was beneath him. Another possibility is that he had gotten fed up with waiting for Jesus to take the world by storm and hoped that by betraying Jesus, he might force him to show his hand at last. Or maybe, because nothing human is ever uncomplicated, something of all of these was involved. Anyway, whatever his reasons were, the whole thing went sour for him soon enough. Slipping out of the Last Supper before the party was over, he led the way to the garden that he knew they were planning to adjourn to afterwards and told the soldiers to lay low till he gave the signal. It was dark by the time his former associates showed up, and maybe for fear that he might scare them off if he used any other method, the way he showed the soldiers which one was the one to jump was by kissing Jesus. That was all he had been paid to do, and as soon as he had done it, there was no earthly reason why he couldn't have taken off with his laundered cash and found a place to spend it. But when the time came, he wasn't in the mood. There are several versions of what he did instead, of which the most psychologically plausible seems to be that he gave the money back to the ones who had given it to him and went out and hanged himself. This time, there doesn't seem to be any ambiguity about the motive. There is a tradition in the early church, however, that Judas' suicide was based not on despair but on hope. If God was just, then Judas knew there was no question where he would be heading as soon as he had breathed his last. Furthermore, if God was also merciful, Judas knew there was no question either that in a last-ditch effort to save the souls of the damned as God's son, Jesus would be down there too. Thus, the way Judas figured it, hell might be the last chance he'd have of making it to heaven, so he needed to get there as soon as possible. Who knows? In any case, it's a scene to conjure with. Once again, they meet in the shadows. The two old friends, both of them a little worse for wear after all that had happened. Only this time it was Jesus who was the one to give the kiss, and this time it wasn't the kiss of death that was given. As I've thought about Buechner's reflection and Paul's insistence in today's reading that forgiveness is both fundamental to who we are as followers of Jesus and the way in which the Christian community refuses to be outwitted by Satan, I've been wondering about how we model forgiveness in our own individual lives and in the life of any congregation. If Jesus asked God to forgive the soldiers who were crucifying him, I can imagine that Jesus would have forgiven Judas for his short-sighted betrayal. Perhaps what ultimately killed Judas was his inability to forgive himself. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I happen to know plenty of people who choke on that phrase because they have been so deeply wronged, they are not yet prepared to begin the journey of forgiveness. Thankfully, God's forgiveness is not conditional. I believe working our way towards being able to forgive those who have wronged us will, with God's help, ultimately lead us into the path of forgiveness. We don't have to be perfect, but the gospel does call us to follow the one who, by his very life and his very death, showed us the way to live and the way to forgive. Let us pray. Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, gave his body to be whipped and his face to be spit upon, give us grace to accept joyfully the sufferings of the present time, confident of the glory that shall be revealed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.